the compound stresses of tobacco thrips and reniform nematodes on cotton yield.
Thank you for that introduction and good afternoon. So really this research is wanting to focus on the impacts of tobacco thrips and reniform nematodes on cotton yield. So we know that thrips are a constant pest in the United States, infesting 95% of the acres. And thrips are going to be feeding on the contents of the epidermal cells. So oftentimes we're going to see the crinkling of leaves, a silvery appearance. And if damage is severe enough, loss of apical dominance. The University of Georgia reported thrips damage impacting root development. So if damage is excessive and severe enough, it may be impacting that root development. So if thrips are potentially impacting root development and we know that nematodes are impacting root development, what effect is this going to have on yield? So we know that nematodes, and I'm talking specifically reniform nematodes because that's the species that we were looking at in this study, limit water and nutrients uptake. So we may see stunting of growth, uneven stand. And so we know that these are going to be impacting our root development. And our main goal when we have nematodes present and if we're going to be using a nematicide is to promote rapid root development. We want to establish a strong, healthy root system early on so that we can endure periods of stress, whether it be due to environmental conditions or pest situations. So how can environmental conditions influence our overall plant growth or plant susceptibility? So in this case, looking at tillage, and how can that help our plant growth or our plant susceptibility or even pest infestation? So research has shown that there has been a decrease in the amount of thrips damage associated with those systems that are in conservational tillage compared to that of conventional tillage systems. And so we know that both thrips and nematodes are going to be early season pests, so that's going to add to our complexity of our development of cotton early season. This could result in delayed maturity or even crop loss or yield reduction. So the objective of this study is to evaluate the influence of tillage, seed treatment, and nematicide on the control of tobacco thrips and reniform nematodes, determine if there's any interaction between these factors, and ultimately we want to know what impact these pests have on cotton yield. So this study was conducted in 2015 in Hamilton, Mississippi, in two different site locations. We implemented a randomized complete block design with a split plot arrangement with four replications. Our data were analyzed with ANOVA using the PROC-LIMX procedure of SAS 9.4, and means were separated using Fisher's protected LSD at a 5% level of significance. So as far as our treatments, we had three different factors, our first factor being tillage. So we had conservational tillage and conventional tillage. We came in and subsoiled approximately 48 to 51 centimeters. Our second treatment would be nematicide. So we had no nematicide, and then we had 1,3-dichloropropane, which was applied at 38 liters per hectare. And then our last factor would be seed treatment and or in-furrow application. We had six different levels. So we had a black seed or a non-treated control, imidacloprid plus thiodicarb, imidacloprid alone, thiomethoxam plus abramectin, thiomethoxam alone, and then acephate plus terbifos. So as far as our data collection, we took thrip samples and ratings at the first or 1 to 2 true leaf stage and the 3 to 4 leaf stage. So our samples, we came in and pulled 5 plants from the outer 2 rows which would then be counted. As far as our thrips ratings, those were evaluated on a scale of 0 to 5. So 0 being no injury, 5 being severe injury or even death. And then our plant vigor ratings were taken on a scale of 1 to 10, so 1 being loss of stand, 10 being uniform and excellent stand. So as far as our nematode samples are concerned, we came at 3 different times throughout the season, so before our nematicide application at first bloom and then again at harvest. So we went in and pulled 5 cores from row 2 and 5 from 3, and those samples were then sent off to be counted. We took biomass at the four true leaf stage. Those were then dried down, and we took the dry weights of those samples. And then lastly, we had yield. So I want to set up this graph really quickly, and they'll be similar for the remainder of the presentation. So on our x-axis, we have our treatment. On our y-axis, we have our skill. And I apologize, I know that this slide is very busy, but the main point that I want to make is although we didn't have any differences in our nematode samples throughout the season, we did have a presence of nematodes in this field. And you can see the line going across the graph at 2,000. So when this sample was taken, the threshold for reniform nematodes is 2,000 per pint of soil. So not every plot or every treatment reaches that goal, but we do have a good number of treatments that did have the threshold of nematodes. So moving forward into our thrips densities, and this is actually the number of immature thrips, both 17 and 24 days. I do want to make a quick note. You can see at the bottom of my treatments, I have a plus sign, and those are the treatments represent the addition of the thiodicarb, the abramectin, or the turbufos. So you can see a similar trend with both of these. You can see 17 days after planting, our imidacloprid and our thimethoxam, we're seeing about 15 to 20 immature thrips. Compare that to the addition of the abramectin and the thiodicarb. We're seeing less than 5 from those treatments, and then the acephate also has less than 5. So then moving forward and looking at the 24 days after planting, you can see the differences are, there's not as many differences as the 17 days, but you can see that we're still seeing about 15 to 20 from the imidacloprid and the thiomethoxam. But we're seeing anywhere from 8 to 11 with the addition of the thiodicarb and the abramectin, with less than 5 from that acephate treatment. So then looking at the actual damage, so we did see an interaction between tillage system and seed treatment in that we were seeing an increase in the amount of damage from the conventional tillage systems, which research has shown that this is the case. So you can see when our no-till system, our imidacloprid and our thiomethoxam, we're seeing about a 3 on the injury rating scale. Compare that to our tillage systems, and we're roughly around 3.5, if not greater. So then comparing that to the treatments with thiodicarb and abramectin, in the no-till situation, we're seeing anywhere from 2 to 2.5, and then in our tillage, we're seeing roughly around 3. I do want to point out that our acephate and turbufrost treatment is similar in both of these tillage systems, where we have a rating of about 1.5. So 24 days after planting, once again, we're seeing a very similar trend, although there's not as many differences again. But really the main point that I want to make here is, once again, our acephate seed treatment and our turbufrost still has a similar damage rating in both of the tillage systems and is only about 1.5. So moving into plant vigor, so we did notice that there was an increase in the overall vigor in our conventional tillage systems. And so then you moving forward, looking at that into biomass and how that relates, we saw about a 2-gram increase in the amount of biomass from the conventional tillage systems compared to the conservational tillage. So then also looking at our nematicide, we didn't see an increase as great as we did in the tillage, but we did see about a 1-gram increase in the biomass from our telone treatments compared to our no-telone. So initially we were seeing some visual response from having telone present. So lastly, yield. So we did see an interaction between nematicide and seed treatment. So to try to determine where this interaction was coming from, we ended up running it by nematicide. And so where we did not have a nematicide, so in our no-telone treatments, there was a lot of variation. And so we didn't see a difference in any of those seed treatments as far as yield is concerned. So where we did have the telone, we were able to maybe control some of those nematodes, reduce variation, which gave us enough power, therefore, to separate our seed treatments. And you can see that we had our treatments containing the thiodicarb, abramectin, and a turbufos yielded higher than the untreated check. So we didn't see any three-way interactions between tillage, seed treatment, or nematicide. We did see the two-way interactions between tillage and seed treatment, and in that we were seeing an increased amount of damage with the conventional tillage systems, and the acephate and turbifos treatment performed similar in both of those tillage systems. We did see an increase in the amount of thrips control with the addition of the abramectin and the thiodicarb. And then as far as yield is concerned, we did see that we were able to separate out those treatments when we did have the nematicide present. And so with that, I would like to thank my major professors and committee members and all the student workers and everyone that helped make this possible. And I have plenty of time for questions. So the question was, do I have any idea behind the mechanisms of the tillage and the plant growth? Is that, understand it correctly? So it potentially could be to in the tillage systems, the plants are growing more vigorously, so they may just be overall healthier looking plants, so they're moving into those systems, or the fact that there is more biomass associated with the conventional tillage systems or conservational tillage systems. Any other questions?